Good morning, church. Y'all forgive, we're working through some issues with some new equipment this morning, so we'll get it straightened out. Welcome. I pray you enjoyed worship like I did. I want to take a second and say hello to everybody in the online world that's still at home watching us. We miss you. We love you. We're honored that you would still take time to join us. I want to give a quick shout out before I get started, just to say thank you to our nursery and Dream Team and our Kids Church Dream Team. There are a lot of you folks who are on that, and y'all know who you are, but with the whole COVID thing, we've had to make some changes, and you know, it just, kids don't think about what they touch and where they touch and where they put stuff, and it's added an extra measure of complication over there, and those guys have handled it well, and they're taking good care of the kids next door, and not just babysit them, but to actually implant the Word of God in their lives and show them the love of God. And so if you parents, as y'all go over and check your kids out, just say thank you. I don't know. You guys that do it have a definite gift and a calling, because I don't have the patience. But they do, and they serve, and it's their giftings this morning. We're going to start a brand new series this morning called Red Letter Series, the Red Letter. And the Bible says, just to kind of give you a little understanding about where it's come from, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That word, capital, notice it's capital there, is talking about Jesus, Jesus sitting with God. And look at the next verse in verse 2, it says, "He was with God in the beginning." This is God explaining to us how Jesus' timeline and time frame was. He was with God in the beginning. He was the Word. The Bible refers to Jesus as the Word, and it says, "In the beginning, before the world started, Jesus was with God." Look at the next verse. "Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." In other words, there's nothing that exists today that hasn't been created because of the power of Jesus on this earth. If you skip on down to verse 14, it says, "The Word then became flesh and made his dwelling among us." That was Jesus coming to the earth to die for us, to pay for our sins, to pay for a sin, to pay our bill that we were never going to pay. So the whole idea of this series we're going to do in the next 3 weeks is just to pull some stuff out that Jesus himself talked about. I know for a lot of you, if you're like me, you do all your Bible reading on your tablet or on your phone, and sometimes they don't turn the words of Jesus read. You know, you can get the Bibles where the words, everything that Jesus himself is quoted as, is read. So you know it's Jesus talking. And that's where this came from. But I realized that, and I talked about this probably a couple of weeks, I think it was on our last online sermon that Melanie and I did together, I realized of myself that I had been operating in my own abilities. Just prior to the whole pandemic thing started, I was kind of coasting. I mean, church was going great. Things were going great. Life is great. And then all of a sudden, the pandemic hit and the COVID hit. And then it went from shut down for a week to shut down for 2 weeks to, oh, we'll be back in 3 weeks. And now 12 weeks later, you know. And now here we are back, our second week of full in person. But I began to realize that I was doing this on my own. And as I was thinking about this series and thinking about all that's really going on in our country, and we talked about a little bit of all of the racial tensions and things going on, we talked about that last week. If you missed last week and you're curious as to what I think, instead of repeating it all, you can go check that out. It's on demand online. But there's all these calls for people now to stand. And I'm not saying they're right or wrong. I'm just saying it's a fact. There's calls to make a stand, to say what needs to be said, to make your voice heard. We have that right in this country, to make your voice heard. You have First Amendment rights. But there's also something that I kept, as I was struggling, just praying about this week, God kept bringing me back to this word. This word, humble. And I just began to ask God, how can I be humble in speak up, stand up, be bold. Because there seems to be sometimes contradictory. Because if you're bold, you sometimes you can get into to prideful. You get into to maybe arrogance. And I ask God, how do I speak for justice and righteousness, but do it humbly? How is humility and humbleness work? And it's actually something Jesus talks about a lot in the New Testament. He's not vague on this. But I began to realize that I don't think we understand humbleness like God understands it, or like God wants us to understand it. If you remember, if you're familiar with the New Testament, if you're not, that's fine. There's a section in the first three books of the New Testament that's repeated, I think two of them. It's called the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are simply, this is where the Bible talks about the Sermon on the Mount. And on the Mount, he talks about nine really pronouncements of blessings. Here's the blessing and here's the who. He gives us the how and the who. How people get blessed and the who will get blessed when this happens. This is where he says, bless those who are merciful. God will bless those whose hearts are pure, who's persecuted, who mourn. But look at number three in Matthew chapter 5. It says, God blesses those who are what? Oh, come on. We're going to get the caffeine back, I promise. God blesses those who are
humble.
So there's something tied to being humble. There's something, God's tied something to with that. God blesses those who are humble for what? They will inherit the earth. And that sounds like a big deal to me. But yet I think we have really twisted what humble is. I think the magnitude of that phrase of inherit the earth is misunderstood. The New King James translates it as the meek. Now, I don't know about you, but as a man, somebody comes and says, I would like, and you ask, maybe, what's a trait that you see in me? What's an adjective that can describe me? If most of us as men, especially, if they say, well, you're meek. I would kind of, what? I mean, I know I'm not buff and big and muscular, and I'm not 6'8", but meek? Because it translates to us something very different than what it actually means. The word meek actually means like a controlled power. That there's a lot of power in this small vessel, but it's controlled. So meek and humble, the Bible, depending on what version you use, it may say meek. But here's where I think we go off course, because humble and meek are terms that we see today as describing the weak, the powerless, the sissies, the people that just let them run all over you, the people that won't stand up for anything, the people, you know, heard somebody say, these are spineless people. Well, no, that's not right. Humble and meek are not that at all. You see, they allow to push people, or they allow people to push them around. Or we say, well, humbleness is this false humility. And if you don't know what false humility is this. And so a lot of us are guilty of this. I'm no good. I'm not really that good. I can't do much. I've tried a lot of things, but I've failed. You know, I'm just average. Well, I'm not even average. I'm kind of subpar, and we just kind of down yourself. See, downing yourself does not make you humble. That's not humility. There's this whole movement back years ago. Any of you older guys here remember Keith Green? He's a worship leader, and there was this big movement that the way you got close to God and the way you exhibited your faith in God was you had to look poor, act poor, get rid of everything. And it was kind of during the hippie movement, and you just didn't keep yourself, and it was you let your body go because it was all focused, you focus on God. And they weren't humble. They just stunk. It was this false humility. And I understand their point, but it just wasn't, in my opinion, biblical. Because, see, the opposite of humble is proud and arrogant. There's a healthy pride. There's a healthy, I think, to be proud of your country, proud of your kids, proud of your city, proud of accomplishments. But when you become arrogant is the other side of this false humility, that you try to do things yourself. You see, the Bible says that it's not prideful to boast. if you boast in God. There's nothing wrong with me saying, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. There's nothing wrong with me saying, greater is he that is within me than he that's in the world. That's boasting. The Bible says that. If you want that notice, 1 Corinthians 31, I think. It says, boast about, if you're going to boast, boast about God. So how do we be humble? Humble is honest enough to admit, and this is kind of a new buzzword. I'm not, again, saying right or wrong. It's just, if you turn on the news and you watch conversations, you have, and pastors are doing it too, you have a black pastor and a white pastor, and they have a conversation, and they talk about this word, or this phrase called blind spots. And we all have them. And not just with race, but we all have blind spots. That's why your friends can look at you and you say, no, I don't have a problem, and you list the problem, and all your friends laugh at you. That's because you have a blind spot. They look at you and go, no, yeah, you really do. We love you, but no, you really have this issue. You think you don't, but you do. We see it, you don't. It's a blind spot. But nonetheless, it's true for everyone. You see, humbleness doesn't say I'm weak. Humbleness says I need God. We're going to tag right off what we talked about last week, that there's heart issues. Humbleness is to go, I can't fix my heart, but I know the one who can. We have a bill, a debt to pay for sin. You can never pay it, no matter what you do, no matter how good you are, no matter what you think, what you say, it has to be paid for, and that's what Jesus came for. But humbleness, true humbleness is, and Jesus, we'll see this in a minute, says, I need God. It's essentially saying, I'm not perfect. Now, I'm going to ask this question, and I think I should know the answer, so don't surprise me. Anybody in the room, anybody online would raise your hand and go, yeah, I'm perfect. I'm figured it out. No, we laugh, right? Like, and the people, that honestly, the people that I've noticed in life that are the scariest are the people who say they're perfect. They've got it figured out. I've got this all figured out. I know everything. I know everything there is to know about everything there is to know. Those people scare me. The Bible says, look what it says in Psalms 25:9. It says that he guides the humble in what's right and teaches them his way. See, us saying I'm humble is not me saying I'm weak, not me saying I'm incapable. It's me saying that all of life, I just can't do it without God. It doesn't happen without God doing something in my life. The New Testament, 1 Peter 5 says, and he talks to the older guys and he talks to the younger men. And it says, you younger men must accept the authority of elders. Ooh, you talk about a tough subject now in the world. They don't like to be told what to do. Teenagers, college age. I mean, again, protesting, okay, you have that right to protest. But when an elder, I watched an interview, and these two people, it was an older black gentleman and a younger black gentleman. And in the protest, the older black gentleman went to the younger guy and said, and you could hear him saying, no, son, here's how we, and he was trying to educate him what he thought on how he should carry himself. And I shouldn't have been shocked, but I was. The younger guy basically looked at his elder and essentially just flipped him off and said, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I want to do. There was no humbleness to go, you've been there, you're old. I mean, this was like a 20-year-old and a 70-year-old. There was no question on age and experience. And he wasn't even being demeaning. He was just saying, listen, here's what I've been through. Let me help you. Let me share with you. And the Bible says that you younger men should accept the authority. It says all of you should serve each other in humility, for God opposes the proud, but was what? Favors the humble. He favors those who will say, I don't know everything. I need your help. That line, God opposes the proud but favors the humble, is twice in the New Testament. It's quoted in Proverbs chapter 3. But I'm sorry, I hate to tell you this for you college age and you high schoolers. I enjoy watching humbleness work. I enjoy watching authority work. I like hearing the stories about the younger generation going to a dad or a mom or a granddad and going, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And for the authority to go, no, you're not. Oh, no, this is what I'm going to do. This is right. This is just. This is what I'm going to do. And the authority goes, no, you're not. I've been there. I know what you're talking about. I've got that, bought the t-shirt, sold the t-shirt. I've been there. No, you're not going to do that. And we watched, and I've been that way in my life. I just knew I had the right answer, and I went to my father or somebody in authority over my life and said, this is what I want to do, and they just completely shut me down. I've said this before 1,000 times, you have to be under authority to have authority. But you also, if you're under authority, you have to be humble enough to go, I think I have the right answer, but my authority is telling me otherwise. Maybe I just need to back up a little bit. Maybe there's wisdom in listening. The Bible's very clear that's what needs to be done. People come to me all the time, and if you've done this, this is not judgmental. We're all going to learn. People come to me all the time, both members of the church and outside the community. Pastor Clint, I was thinking about, we'll just pick something random, buying a new car. I was thinking about buying a car, and they come to me. This is the car I picked out. This is, and they tell you everything, and they're not asking you what you think. What are they doing? They're asking you for approval. They're not asking your opinion. They're asking, they've already made up their answer. Then, if they're really religious, and a lot of us do it, people come to me and say, well, God told me. And then you proceed to tell me what God told you. Well, the problem with that is I'm not going to argue. If you tell me God told you something, then I'm going to say, if God told you that, then okay. I can't argue what you hear in your heart. But there's a difference between God told me something, and then you coming to tell me or somebody asking wisdom and go, well, what do you think? Give me your opinion. There's a big difference. Are you telling me or are you asking me? It takes a humble person to go, I'm coming to you and I'm asking. I'm asking for your wisdom. I'm asking for your input. And really the truth of the matter is age is not an issue because you never age out of humility and you never age out of humbleness. You don't get... Just because you get older doesn't mean suddenly now I can get proud and arrogant. That's not the way it works because I've arrived. Now, it's not a whole lot of time. I don't have the time to show you, but if you go back and read, for you note takers in Proverbs 11, Proverbs 15, 18, and 22, humility is listed, humbleness is listed all through Proverbs, which was written by King Solomon, which is, most of it is written as the wisest man that ever lived. And he talks about all these things that humility precedes. Humility precedes honor, long life, warning to danger, godly wisdom. I'll give you one verse in Proverbs 22:4. It says, true humility and the fear of the Lord leads to what? Riches, honor, and long life. I don't know about you, but I'd like all three of those. There's no reason to have honor and riches and have a short life. There's no reason that... God gives us these three, and he's not saying, for those of you who say, oh, here he is talking about money again, no, I'm not, because riches goes way more than cash. I may not have a lot of cash in the bank, and somebody else may have a whole lot more, but I would say I have a very rich and full life. I was sitting yesterday, just sitting at our house, just thinking, okay, God, this is way beyond where I ever thought. You've done more in my life than I sold myself short, and here you've taken me so far. But real quick, if blessing comes from being humble, then how many of you watching online would say, yeah, I want that. I want blessing. All right, it's not a trick question. Every hand in the room should be up. Unless you're asleep, if you're asleep, wake up. See, there's something to being humble that opens an avenue into our lives. That opens God to bless us. I was watching a pastor teach I looked up some other sermons and watched some people that I respect and just kind of see their thought on the idea. And one of the guys said that his quote was that humbleness opens the door for blessing. Because if God opposes the proud, then it would stand to reason that humbleness is the key to getting to open the door. You see, I think there are a lot of us who fuss at God. And God, why don't you? I should have this. Why don't you do this for me? And I think there's a pride in it, and a lot of us keep our foot God keeps his foot on the door. He's like, no, you're not going to open that door until you realize this is not about you, until you realize that you're not all that in a bag of chips. You think this is about yourself. There's an arrogance that needs to be brought out of our lives. My grandfather, You've heard me probably say this before. My dad's dad was a football coach, won several state championships in Georgia, later was an athletic director. But he used to have a way that, and this was back in the 50s and 60s, there's a lot of rules that you can't do stuff now, but you know, that was back in the day when instead of giving you water, they gave you salt tablets. You got to be kind of older than me to remember this. Y'all are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. But they used to just give you a little bit of water, and the idea was we keep your electrolytes good, and they give you salt tablets. You know, people would be like shriveling up and falling over, but a salt tablet was the answer. But it's funny, my grandfather, in all of his conditioning, had a way to humble people. He would condition these guys. He'd run them with their tongues hanging out and they're falling over. But he had this way of noticing that when they became humble and realized, I need my teammates to do this. I need somebody to help me do this. And they began to listen to the coach. He began to be able to build them up. He would honor them. And those are the guys that got captains. And those were the guys that became leaders when they began to realize that I need other people in my life. I need something else. And blessing began to come into their life, that I want and I need everything he has for me. Not because I just want it, but because I do want it. Not because I want God to make me rich. But I hope you hear my heart in this, that the more God gives us, the more he has us to do. The more I want everything that God has for me for the kingdom. I want you to have everything that God has for you because it blesses you, but at the same time, it allows us to reach more people. It allows us to get out in the community. It allows us to have and use the gifts that God's given us to make a difference in our community. So I'm going to give you three ways. This series, and normally in the summertime, if you're visiting with us, normally the next couple weeks, I'll get a little more teachy than preachy. Summertime's a good time, I think, for us to maybe take a little time, internalize some things, look inward, and maybe make some changes and tweaks as we go through the summer. So I'm going to be real practical. Three ways we can walk this out. Three ways that we can step out being humble. Because it has to look like something. You can't just say I'm humble. A lot of people say, well, I'm rich. No, you're not. You don't have two nickels to grub together. Just because you say you're rich doesn't make you rich, right? You have to have money in the bank to be wealthy according to the world. Somebody told me the other day, I need to pay my bills. And I said, well, okay, pay them. I said, well, what are you going to pay it with? They said, the credit card. So what are you going to pay the credit card with? Next week's check. And there was no understanding of what it meant to say I'm one thing and yet you were another. So humbleness makes, we have to walk it out. We have to be honest with it. And the first thing I want to give you is, and you hear this a lot here, humbleness comes to just serve people. It's a demonstration thing. I think God wants to see it. As a matter of fact, I know he wants to see it. It's something we can walk out, serve people. That's what we call here. I don't use the word volunteer. As much as we can, we try not to because I feel like volunteers, they do stuff out of the goodness of their heart, but they don't really, may not be doing the thing that God's put the dream in their heart. So we call it the dream team. The dream team is all our various serve teams around the church and in the nursery, in the kids' church, in the sound booth, the greeters, the ushers. We have some serve teams that go out and serve people in the community. Those members of teams, well, there's a lot to do. And over the last 12 weeks, believe it or not, even though we weren't here physically, there's a lot that had to be done. I said this last week, if it wasn't for all of the tech guys and gals in the booth, that us staying online or even being online now just wouldn't have happened because it was bigger than me. There's more knowledge than I have. But the Bible, Jesus actually says this in Mark chapter 10, and he starts out with this phrase, and he says, but among you, he's talking to the disciples, he says, it's going to be different. And it sounds cliche, and it's still true, though. Among us as people who believe we've been saved by our Lord Jesus, that I didn't have to make myself perfect, that God made me perfect, God washed me clean. Among us, it should be different. We should look different, act different. Even vocalizing, we'll go back to the things in the world, even vocalizing my opinions and vocalizing my stances, you should be able to do it in a godly way. You should be able to voice those opinions, but he says, among you, it's going to be different. And then he starts talking about leadership. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be what? A servant. See, that's not the way the world teaches. The world teaches if you want to be a leader, you stand on people, climb your way to the top, and then tell them what to do from the top. But that's not what the Bible says. I don't even think in the world it's good leadership. It goes on to say, whoever wants to be a leader, you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. And then Jesus talking about himself in the third person. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to do what? To serve others. To give his life as a ransom for many. See, Jesus set the example. You all want to see humble, then the Bible says, you just look at Jesus. If you look at the other places where it talks about Jesus, it says he laid down his deity to become, he was fully human. While he was here on this earth, he laid that aside to walk on the earth with us. That's what we read in John chapter 1. Look what it says in Philippians, as Paul writes, Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. See, a lot of us, we don't even realize it. As I was thinking about this week, I've seen places in my life where I do this. I do things out of selfish ambition. I want it for me. I need it for me. It makes me feel better. But here Paul writes, do nothing out of it. And he says, rather in humility, do what? Value others. I think this is a whole nother message, but just my two cents. I think as humanity, we've lost what it means to value humanity, to value people. Again, no matter where you think you stand on the political or scale or spectrum, that there's just been a loss of humanity, that we don't value people. Lives are expendable. I heard a guy say one time, well, if one person dies, there's a million other people to take his place. That's just wrong. The Bible says of me and of you that I am individually and uniquely and wonderfully made. I'm as hard as it is to believe, there's no more me. In some cases, for some of us, thank God there's no more me's. You are individual, and the Bible is very clear about the value. Rather, in humility, value each other above yourself, much less value them all. I think we've just kind of erased that whole value thing out of our society today. The next thing. You got to be willing to listen. I used this verse last week, and I'm going to use it again this week. So the Bible says in James chapter 1, to understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be what? Quick to listen. Keep your mouth shut. Be quiet. Humbleness can't operate in this idea that I got to speak first. And a lot of the world today, whether it's in text messaging or on social media or the rarity that it's face-to-face, it's all about getting my voice out there first. I got to say first. I got to get out there first and get in front, because if I'm first, then everything else has to measure up to me. But James says, no, listen, you got to be quick to listen. Slow down. You know, Jesus says this over and over. I'm going to give it to you in Mark 9. Mark chapter 9, Jesus says, then anyone with ears to hear should do what? Listen and understand. See, the problem is you can't understand if you don't listen. And I've learned this as a husband. Those of you who are newly wed, meaning under 5 years, you'll figure it out. Even ladies, y'all can laugh all you want, but ladies do the same thing. I start talking about guns, hunting, outdoors, or, you know, my new latest, greatest technology, or something that Melanie really doesn't care about. And don't let her fool you. She's just as good as I am. Well, yeah, that's awesome. That's great. And then I show up with a new toy. She says, you didn't tell me you got that? Yeah, I did. That was when you were going, But see, guys, we do the same thing. What are we doing? We're not. We may be listening. And what listening is, I realize you're talking about something I don't really care about, so I'm just going to make you feel good and acknowledge the fact that I'm listening to what you say, even though I don't care what you say. And we just do the, sure. But then there's no understanding. And we can laugh, but the truth of the matter is, we're not humble enough to say, we need to be humble enough to say, God, I'm not doing that to you anymore. Because I think a lot of times you're talking, yeah, I know, yeah, go to church, give, tithe, sing, worship, raise my hands, I'm listening, God. But we don't understand. We think, oh, God, even worship, let me tell you a good one. In worship, do you know God? The Bible says that God, that our worship to God is like a sweet-smelling fragrance. That He enjoys it. There is a part of it that we do it. There's somewhat of a duty just because of what He's done for us. And we worship Him because He's saved us. We worship because no matter where you came from today or no matter where you're watching online from today, what your state of your life is in, what you did last night, the bag.